Dave, you come up and bless us with the word.
Let's welcome this morning.
Elder Bob said, the Lord God saw us through 2020. Hallelujah. And there's a word spoken last week, which really spoke to my heart because it affirmed what I had heard from the Lord days prior to that during the same week about how easy it is to be distracted by the spirit that Pastor has been ministering on of the Antichrist spirit. And it's easy to look at that sometimes, and we lose focus of what he has done, as to what he has brought us through, and what he's going to continue to bring us through in the coming year. No question. Sometimes what we need to do is to have the mindset with the mantra that's out there today about the new normal. And one thing I think that is paramount as born-again believers in Christ is that we have to understand that Jesus Christ, his life living through us is our new normal. Hallelujah. So let's take a look at his atonement. Let's take a look at the validity of that. Let's take a look at what we can look to and be reminded of over this next 12 months that we're going to be here, that the Lord has given to us. And I would agree again, I thank Elder Bob for being so sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because what God spoke through him was that covenant of grace. That's where you stand, people. His power, his anointing, his grace, his enablement upon your life and upon mine. So first, we speak of his all-sufficient atonement. Our Lord came into the world that he might forever put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 10:5 and verses 7 and verse 10 says, when he comes into the world, he says, a body hast thou prepared me. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. But the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For all eternity he offered himself. Lo, I come is the voice of the Son of God before the creation of the world. His condescension goes back into the ages. For in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. With a heart of love he came into the world, his own life on earth, embracing his obedience and death, his substitution for sinners, was his own voluntary resolve and act. His coming was the incarnation of God himself. He's not a deified man as Joseph Smith believes every man can become, the founder of the Mormon church, of course, but God incarnate. In the manger of Bethlehem, the child was born to us, the wonderful, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, conceived of the Holy Spirit and, yes, born of the Virgin Mary. He is called from his very infancy that holy thing. This is the body which the Father prepared, built of the Holy Spirit to be the tabernacle of the divine glory. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. For what purpose did he come? He came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He came into this wilderness of earth as our substitute and our sin bearer to deliver us from the wrath and the judgment of Almighty God. He came to give his life a ransom for many. Our Lord knew from the commencement of his earthly ministry the sufferings that awaited him. He never lost sight of the cup, the sword, the death, or the cross. He saw the cross from the beginning, all the days of his flesh. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The mountains of our guilt were heaped upon him. He was made a curse for us. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. By his stripes we are healed. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 and verse 14 says, he came for the suffering of death, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power over death. Laying down his life, he came into contact with the whole sting of death. Its length, its breadth, its intensity, the power of Satan, the condemnation of the law. This is the agony of Gethsemane. All that was in death was concentrated in that little cup raised to the lips of our Lord. The apostles had seen Jesus weep over Jerusalem. They had seen his tears, heard his groans at the grave of Lazarus. But there was something so overwhelming in the agony of the garden that the inadequacy of language struggles to describe that awful hour. His soul was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. He went a little farther. He knelt down. He fell on his face. He cried unto God with strong crying and tears. Luke, the beloved physician, wrote it in 22, the second chapter, 22nd chapter, the 44th verse. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. This was the hour and the power of darkness. How many times have you felt that? Where you sense in your spirit, this is the power of darkness. Lord, how do I get out of this? Lord, give me your grace. Lord, I can't feel you right now. Lord, I feel like I'm groping in total darkness. Jesus Christ understands that. He hears when you moan from your innermost being, that feeling of being alone. Put that back up on the screen, will you please? That verse, unless there's nobody up there. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own, and he bore the burden to Calvary and suffered, and he died alone. He suffered and he died alone so you would not have to suffer alone. So you would not have to bear the weight of everything that you've borne this last year. Yes, I know you've cast it upon the Lord, but we're human and we feel it. But even though we feel it, we know the one in whom we trust. We know that he upholds us with his righteous right hand. We know that there's light at the end of the tunnel because he is the light. We know that no matter what comes our way in 2021, that we will be victorious because of our faith in Jesus Christ. You will not be defeated in 2021 because Jesus Christ is alive. He's not a memory. Yes, he died. And a lot of times people liken his death as to the death of a loved one or someone close to them. And to them it is a memory. But there's a reality in Christ that he is risen. And he didn't leave you comfortless. You have God, the Holy Ghost, inside of you. You have everything within you, regardless of what it feels like. Regardless of the heaviness or regardless of the attack, you have within you the one that will never leave you nor forsake you. The one that will remind you everything that Jesus has taught you. Everything that Jesus Christ has taught you is good seed. And it will bear fruit. And it will bear much fruit. Hallelujah to the Lamb. All the negative reports and everything that we see coming across every airwave we can think of, I serve notice to the father of lies in this place this morning that every believer in this place, regardless of the stumbling blocks, we shall not stumble. Regardless of the sickness or disease he tries to throw our way, we shall not stumble. But we shall rise up in the name of Jesus and call him blessed, call him holy, call him alive through our lives in Jesus' name. So for our Lord, this was the hour and the power of darkness, but the voice of the filial love had answered to eternity. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Now the voice of filial submission answers again, not my will, but yours be done. He arose and set his face to the redemptive task laid upon him outside the city gates to tread the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God against sin, to open the fountain filled with blood for the cleansing of men. So the day of atonement came, and the Lamb of God was sacrificed, as the holy prophets had said, since the world began. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, he said. The day of the crucifixion was fixed by God from all eternity. You know, I've done this thing 100 times. I keep going to God 100 times. God, forgive me. Now I'm at the place I can't ask God for forgiveness anymore. I'm at the place where I'm just feeling like, what's the use and what's the sense? And why should I even bother God? There is no hope for me any longer. Yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I trust in Jesus. But the weight of this thing has got me to the place I am so sick of myself that I can't even bring myself to come to God and ask him to forgive me again. But remember what I just said. This has been fixed from before eternity. God had placed in his heart that he'd have an answer for our frailness, for our sinfulness, for our falling down. And we fall down, but we get up. And every time we get up, the devil may come at us again, and principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness may come with those lying words, what's the sense and what's the use? And I've got news today that the sense is Jesus. The use is Jesus and him crucified and risen from the grave. Hallelujah to the Lamb. It was the significance of the Passover, the meaning of the Paschal Lamb, the pouring out of the blood, the symbol of the Day of Atonement. He did not ask the Father for 12 legions of angels. Matthew 26:50. For how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled? Thus it must be. All and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Let me encourage your heart today that I stand with you in the same mind, saying the same thing in the same way, that in your life, the plan of God for you will be accomplished. The victory that he had planned for you will be accomplished. If you've given up in your own heart, if you've given up in your own mind, let me encourage you today, We stand with you in agreement for your victory. Cast down that vain imagination and bring that thought into the obedience of Christ that you set in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All because of his sufficiency, all because of him being obedient unto death, even the death of his cross. The 30 pieces of silver Judas flung down on the temple pavement were used to buy a field to bury strangers in, as Jeremiah had said. The rest of the disciples forsook him and fled. The flock was scattered abroad, as Zechariah had said. He was crucified between two robbers, numbered among the transgressors, Isaiah had said. They parted his garments among them and cast lots upon his vesture, as David had said. In his thirst, they gave him vinegar to drink, as the psalmist has said. When the end of the day had come, the robbers, who were dying slowly in their agony, were beat with heavy blows that their broken bones, screaming as their legs were broken. But Jesus, already cold in death, is left unmaimed, as the book of the law had said. A bone of him shall not be broken. See, people can come against him. They had plans throughout history of that wicked crucifixion, that wicked death, of how they would snap your legs so you could not push yourself up and get air and you would suffocate. But then, see, man would have had a hand in that. But Jesus said, I lay my life down. He chose to do that for you and for me so that we can walk victorious. To make sure of his death, the heavy cold steel, the soldier's spear, is thrust into his heart. And Zechariah said, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Do you realize we will do that too? I'm sure we will weep and cry and sob before the Lord when we see his hands and his feet, because it's our sin that did that. But in a moment, in a second in time, we will be filled with joy, gratitude, and such love for him. The Holy Spirit bears witness to our heart. That's why we came to him, because he allowed us by his mercy and grace to understand that sacrifice. But when we behold him, when we actually see it, we will kiss his hands, we will kiss his feet. And you know what? Trust me when I tell you, your loved ones, whom you love so dearly, that knew him and are with him, while we bow down and kiss his feet and kiss his hands, they're going to be there going just like this. And they're going to be going just like this. We're going to have such a time of reunion. People look forward to holidays and getting together with families. Yes, we do. Does not even compare. When we leave here and we see him, behold him face to face, we feel his love, we feel his power, we feel him embrace us. But man, when we get there, can you imagine? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Think of the beauty of that. So when all these lying things come across our airwaves, and even Christian people with all this negative stuff, and what are we going to do? I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to trust and believe Jesus. We're going to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. He's going to raise us up, and it's going to bring him glory. We will be the light of this world and the salt of the earth. This is what we have to look forward to in 2021. And the mandate is to go seek those that are lost. I proclaim there's going to be more people that come to the Lord Jesus Christ that are born again, snatched from darkness to light because of your life. I believe that. And I believe the appointed time, wherever you go and no matter what you do, you will open your mouth. And the oracle, as the oracles of the living God and the anointing of God, will come out of your oracles and pierce the heart of every man, woman, child that you come in contact with. And you know what? I look forward to running into the most vile, wicked, spit upon people that this world looks at as low count, no good, nothing. Because before I knew Jesus, I was a low count, no good, nothing. But not anymore. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. This atonement is final and it's all sufficient. Our sins are put away by His sacrifice of Himself. The cross opened the floodgates of love and of pardon. Our redemption, our forgiveness and deliverance, like for Pastor Mike, what we prayed earlier, his deliverance is procured by the death of the Lamb of God. There's no more remembrance of sin. Don't you remember it. You repent and you go forward. Amen. You repent, you get up, and you go forward. I got news for you. You're going to sin. So don't wallow in it. Don't, how could I do this or how could I do that? That's pride. That's the old man, because you always wanted to do it before yourself in the first place. So rest assured. Go forward. A righteous man falls seven times and he gets up. Hallelujah. I had seen this. I can't remember the name of the show. It was a true story about during the war. And one man, I can't remember, saved like 100 people. He kept going back and kept going back with all the fire. People wounded. And he had to not only get them, he had to bring them on his back down a rope. That's what we do spiritually. So for those of you that wonder, are my kids ever going to make it? Is my spouse ever going to make it? Is the ones that I really care about the most, are they going to make it? I say in the name of Jesus, yes. Don't embrace that lie from the devil, because what we end up doing is we believe that father of lies. What happens is, then the prayer life becomes less and less and less. Let me tell you what, if it looks like there's no hope, you bombard heaven. You come boldly before the throne of grace and say, Lord, I thank you that so-and-so is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I thank you that they will be covered with the blood of Jesus. I thank you they're going to be on fire for you. I thank you that they're going to touch so many souls, and I am going to be a partaker in the rewards when I get on the other side, because I never gave up praying for them. Hallelujah. That's the way you have to see it. He's our mediator. Don't forget that. And your high priest. After his atoning death and glorious resurrection, our Lord ascended into heaven that night he might be our all-sufficient mediator and our faithful. Faithful. Faithful high priest. Our risen, ascended, glorified Lord is in heaven alive. Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Hebrews 10:12. And this is what this government, so many people are calling a lie. Yes, I don't like the term bigot, but I'm telling you what, we do have the only answer, because Jesus Christ himself said he is the only answer. And we need to stand for that. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. You've heard me say this many times before. I don't want you talking to anybody about God anymore. Did you hear the room? All the air was just sucked out of the room. I want you to talk to them about the one who is God. I want you to use that name, Jesus. Because when you use that name, Jesus, in the spirit realm, darkness flees, darkness shakes, Darkness runs. Darkness lets go. Darkness weapons fall because you say, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Through suffering and temptation and infirmity and conflict, the Son of Man has ascended high above all. Say, high above all. All principalities and powers and thrones and dominions. High above all heavens and every name that is named to appear in the very presence and the glory of God for you. He who first descended into the lower parts of the earth has entered as our faithful high priest into the Holy of Holies. Our Lord Jesus, who hungered and thirsted, who sighed and wept, who prayed and agonized, who was tempted by the devil, who died on the cross, who was bruised and descended into Hades. That same Lord Jesus is now our friend, our intercessor in the most excellent glory in the very throne of the Godhead. Oh, people, how great is Jesus? How great is the glory of the Son of God? How able an advocate, how marvelous a mediator that we have in Jesus. The apostles were filled with amazement and wonder when Jesus was taken up from them and a cloud received him out of their sight. And the men of Galilee stood gazing up into heaven. Have you ever caught yourself gazing because you just don't understand? You just catch yourself, you're just at that place, and it's like you're in wonderment. But when the full import of the ascension was disclosed to them, they rejoiced with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So when you're at that place, you're gazing, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Listen, he's got you. He purchased you. You're his. He does for you what the shepherds of the flocks do to this day. He herdles all the sheep into the den, so they're not attacked by the wolves. And the shepherds today lay their body across that opening of the den to protect his sheep. Don't be afraid, people. Don't be dismayed. In a military term, he's got your six. He has you covered. When that fear strikes out of nowhere, remember you're covered. You're protected. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear him. You are not alone. And I didn't realize why it was told me, but when Mary Trogan last week, as I was up here praying for Pastor Mike, she said she saw this huge angel hovering right behind us. For the angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear him. You don't need to fear. He is there to be the head and the ruler of the church. You don't look at people, you look at him. He's the master. He's the master teacher. He's the head of the church. He is there to give gifts unto his children. I don't know what I can do for God. I don't know. I'm just a lowly whatever. He's given gifts to his church, to his children. You have gifts. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men, Ephesians 4:8. He is there to save and to sustain his people. Now, why did I say sustain? Because you're not to become weary in well-doing. He will sustain you. As hard as it might seem, you are being sustained. You may not seal it, or see it, or feel it, but you are being sustained. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that God, or that come unto him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. Hebrews 9:25. The same Savior who died for us ever lives to sanctify, to protect, and to keep us. Because I live, Jesus said, you shall live also. His life and intercession are a pledge and a security for the life of all his people. I can never be like this person or never be like that person, and I don't have the gifts this person does, and I can't do what that person does. Well, thank God you can't. Because you got something they can't do. That's the importance of the body of Christ jointly fit together. We need each other. We need to support and encourage and build each other up. Thank God for people that don't have gifts I do. And thank God for the gifts that they have I don't have. That in itself keeps you like this. You got to be like this. When we're like this, a threefold cord is not easily broken, is it? You got you and me, and who's the other one? God, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to the Lamb. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Romans 5:10. Restored. Say restored. To the favor of God by the death of his Son. We are now saved to the uttermost by his intercessory life for us in heaven. Truly, Jesus is our Moses with hands outstretched. Prays for us in the heavens above. Jesus is our true Joshua, who delivers us from the hands of the spoilers. Jesus is our perfect high priest who bears us on his loving heart and holds us in safety forevermore. There's always one new thing. This whole coronavirus thing is nothing new under the sun. It's a disease. It's a sickness. Call it a plague. This has been going on since the beginning of time. You just see God in heaven. Oh, great. I'm their all-sufficient sacrifice. I'm their all-sufficient intercessor. But I had no idea coronavirus was going to come out. What are my children going to do now? Oh, no. Nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. It has to do with one thing: to distract you. To keep you from looking to the cross. We're looking to CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. I don't care which one it is. We're looking to that. The Word of God says, you do not look to the left nor to the right. You keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. They have no answer for you, and I don't care what theory they come up with. It's not your answer. Your answer is to do the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If you do that, then it doesn't matter what comes down the pike or who says what. That's when the miracles happen. That's when the Shekinah glory of God comes in like a wave and knocks out the attacks of darkness. I let it come. Let it come. Because I will stand in the name of Jesus Christ, and those that are around are going to stand in amazement and say, I want to know that person's God. They've seen what the other has for them, which is precious little. As much as they embrace it, it's precious little. But we have all the answers in all of heaven behind us. Because people, don't be afraid. I don't care what they call it. You were born for such a time as this. You were born to stand strong in the name of Jesus and be their light in the midst of this. Satan wants us to be upset and to wallow, and what if about this, and what if about this, or what if this happens, and what if that happens. Let it happen! Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. If it happens, He will be glorified through you. This is what it's about. I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but this ain't home. This was never meant to be home. Ever since that fall, that was it. We need to remember why we're here. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to be point blank. You don't need to answer me, but I believe the Holy Spirit will stir this in your heart. How much time have you really spent on your knees praying for those that you know personally that are lost? How much time have you really spent? See? I'm standing here today because there were people that I mocked at, family members, had nothing to do with their life because they knew Jesus. I'm standing here today because they put meals aside. They interceded for me, and they didn't condemn me. They prayed for me, and they loved me, but they told me the truth. And I'm standing here because of that. You are sitting here because there are people that prayed for you. Freely you have received. Freely give. He loves. He watches. He prays. He holds us fast. And we will never perish. Didn't Jesus tell us? Don't destroy man that can destroy your body, but fear him that can destroy the body and soul in hellfire. We need to stand in the gap for those that are lost. Our life is about one thing, and it's only about one thing. Yeah, we like nice things. Yes, we like security. Yes, we like. There's nothing wrong with that in its proper place. But your life is about one thing, and that's bringing glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, about letting Him live through you and bring those that are lost into salvation. Hebrews 4:14-16. Seeing then that we have a high priest, a great high priest, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points. Lord, you just don't understand. Lord, there was no dope running around back then, God. You don't understand about my hymenus gland, God. You don't know what I go through. This is a physical thing going on. That's drunkenness maybe, God, but not this other stuff. In all things, everything, He understands. Yet, without sin. Let us therefore, we come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and will find grace in the time of need. Afraid? What if there's grace there for that time of need? Jesus is in heaven. Everybody says, well, tell me something I don't know. People, we need to be reminded of that sometimes. We really do. We have to speak to ourselves, wait a minute, what am I embracing here? Jesus is in heaven, my intercessor. Jesus' recognitions are still human. The prince of suffering are still upon him. He is still Jesus of Nazareth. He's the crowned king of glory. He's the teacher of Galilee, the sufferer of Gethsemane, the Christ of the cross, the silent, stricken Lord of the tomb. He's the same Jesus in heaven as he was on earth, as he was before the world began. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. On the road to Damascus, Paul met the one whose presence in light and glory shined above the brightness of a noonday Syrian sun. "Who art thou?" Saul cried, blinded by the brightness of that light. And the Holy One answered, "I am Jesus of Nazareth." The face shining above the brightness of the sun is the face that drew sinners to his feet. That same bright, shining glory of the Lord is upon you today. The hand that holds the seven stars in the hand was the laid in blessing upon the little children. The breast gird about the golden girdle in the breast upon which the beloved disciple laid his head at the Last Supper, the Apostle John, as you know. He's the same Jesus. Sometimes thought that for a limited period and for a definite purpose, our Lord took part in frail humanity. When that purpose was achieved, the man forever perished, and the Lord ascended a spirit to reunite again with pure, unmixed deity. And that's what Charles Taze Russell would have you to believe from the Jehovah Witness and Watchtower Bible Tract Society. But how different the testimonies that saw him. With what pains do the scriptures set forth the many infallible proofs by which he showed himself the same Jesus alive after his passion. The beloved disciple in the empty tomb recognized the way he folded a napkin, and he saw and he believed. Mary recognized the way he pronounced her name and cried, "My master." Do you recognize when his voice speaks to you today? How often do you recognize in the midst of what you're going through that beautiful voice of his? And do you recognize it quickly? The two disciples at Emmaus recognized the way he pronounced the blessing at the table, and they echoed the glad refrain, "The Lord is risen indeed." Thomas looked at the print of the nails in his hands and beheld the scar in his side and said, "My Lord and my God." And when they yet believed not for joy, he said, "Handle me and see. For a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see me have." And he said, "Have you here any meat?" And they did eat before him. And John saw him in the gray mist of the early morning, standing by the Sea of Galilee, and cried to his friend Simon Peter, "It is the Lord." The same Lord from heaven John saw again on the Isle of Patmos, who also laid his hand upon the beloved disciple and repeated the familiar words, "Fear not." He is the same Jesus. He took upon him our nature, and that human nature he assumed in Bethlehem's cradle. He never relinquished nor laid it aside. In that nature he rose again in that same body, no longer the body of humiliation, but the body of glory. He ascended into heaven, forever God, forever man. Forever God-man. He reigns in heaven And I have to ask myself the question, does he reign in my heart? The humanity of Jesus is now enthroned in glory. He that sits upon the throne is our kinsman. He is one with us by a link which can never be severed. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. We have the same compassionate Savior in heaven that we had upon the earth. His kingly exaltation has made no change in his heart. We have to remember that Jesus Christ is the image of the Father. Every attribute, every personality, every response that you see through Christ through the Scriptures is a reflection of the Father. You can't separate the two. He ascended into the holiest, into the region of perfection and glory, but not to forget us who are still in the wilderness of this world. As he loved his own until the end, he loves you now and throughout eternity, through all the ages. In that sanctuary of glory, Jesus, who was tempted in all things as we are, is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He understands. He remembers his earthly experience. In all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to give support to them that are tempted. Please, take these verses. Keep them in your car. Put them on your refrigerator, in the mirror, in the bathroom. So that in 2021, that will be our first response. That will be our first remembrance. I promise you, anybody in here has a problem with high blood pressure, you do that, you will not have high blood pressure. I promise you that. You see, he knows our frailty, our painfulness, the painfulness of our conflicts and the weakness of our flesh. He does know and understand. What Jesus was, Jesus is. He can be touched now because he suffered then. Just as the results remain upon his body, the print of his nails and the scar of the spear, so do the results remain upon his soul. He can be moved with the feeling of our infirmities because he himself suffered being tempted. When he hungered in the wilderness, when he thirsted on the cross, when he sat weary by the well, when the tears streamed down his cheeks at Bethany, when he cried in an agony in Gethsemane, he came to know the sorrows and the anguish with which human life is filled. Hunger, pain, sorrow, death were made real to him. The broad road, easy and attractive to the flesh, was open to our Savior. The way of humility, obedience, denial, and suffering was narrow to Jesus also. He suffered being tempted. Through suffering and heartache, he became our merciful mediator, our heavenly intercessor, our faithful high priest. For it became him in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. That right there is a sermon in itself. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Our Lord in heaven is one who experienced every difficulty, tasted every sorrow, who felt all of our infirmities, who bore all of our sicknesses, all of our sicknesses, who sighed over the misery that is in this world, He is one who through his suffering is made our perfect and our all-sufficient Savior, sensitive to us. His sympathy and feeling have led to this, grace to help in the time of need. Amongst the multitudes, as he walks, he detects the individual touch of faith. In Mark chapter 5, starting verse 25 through 31, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him, and behold, a woman came behind and touched the border of his garment. For she said within herself, if I do but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. And Jesus said, who touched me? Peter replied, Master, the multitudes throng you, press you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, yes, but someone did touch me, for I perceive that healing power is going out of me. Listen, he knows whether you feel it or you don't feel it. He knows when you're holding on to him. He knows when you're embracing him. He knows when spiritually you got the hem of his garment and you're just clinging and you're being dragged. He feels it. That brings glory to him because you're telling him in that hour, you need him. He already knows you need him. Let him know how much you need him. So where's the border of Christ's garment today? Is there no hem for us to touch? Are we poor because Christ has gone back to the Father? Absolutely not. Our living Lord still walks in our midst today, up to the mighty heart of God, to the very throne of grace, go the sorrows and the tears and the sighs of our lives. We, in our times, may also come with our failing bodies and fevered minds and sick sin souls and in faith touch the border of his garment and be made whole again. Same as we bear one another's burdens, as you allow Jesus Christ to live his life through you. Down through the ages, he has been showing the same wonders of grace and power as he did as he walked through Judea and Galilee centuries ago. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. How many people today have heard our Savior say, be clean. Be clean. I've ministered to a lot of people, and so many times I've heard that terminology. Why? I don't feel so dirty. That's what he does. That's what he does through your life. That's what he does when he comes into somebody. The condemnation and the shame of it all is gone. And it doesn't matter what the individual's done. They're clean. What about the dying thief? Today you will be with me in paradise. There's hope to the end. If you hear somebody's in the hospital, it doesn't look like they're going to make it, and you prayed for them and talked to them, and they've scoffed at you, cussed you out, go to the hospital. Go. Just hope to the end. I've seen people's lives touched. I've seen people on their deathbed raised up, divinely healed. They have seen it. So how many bereaved souls has he repeated the consolation? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me shall never die. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. Through the years, his voice has been heard speaking peace, comfort, hope, and his presence has always been there. Please remember that in this coming year. Let us come boldly upon the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. The throne of majesty and righteousness is unto us a throne of grace. Come boldly. Come as you are. Say what you feel. Ask what you need. Pour out your heart before Him. Confess your sins. Confess your fears, your wandering thoughts. How fully, openly may we speak to God in the name of Jesus, who went through all of our sorrows and trials and heartaches. For this purpose, He was tempted, that He might be able to support them that are tempted. He is filled with tender compassion. This belongs to the perfection of His priesthood. He knows from His experience on earth how poor, weak, and sinful His disciples are. Come boldly. Draw near in full assurance. I don't care what you've done. I don't feel if you feel worthy. I don't care if you did this thing 10 times in 10 days. Still come boldly. Come with that confidence. Come with the full assurance that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Be clean. You're not clean because of what you've done or what you haven't done. We had communion today to remind us we're clean because of what He's done. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The feet may tremble, but the rock on which they are set stands firm and immovable. Whether you feel it or not, you're on Him, you're immovable, and you're firm in Him. You may go bent a little bit because of the wind, but you're standing. You're on a rock. All the help we need is treasured up for us in heavenly places. His intercession possesses omnipotence. The government is on His shoulder, and the Father hears Him always. What an assurance. Jesus is Lord, and there is none in heaven or on earth to share in any way or to any extent His throne. We have no need of any saint or any deified virgin or any priestly intercession through which we reach the heart of God. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and the man Christ Jesus. Come directly. Come boldly. Come quickly. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Don't let the other thoughts distract you. Come quickly. He understands. Don't reason through it. Lord, I sinned. Clean again, off I go. That is the heart of God. That is a man or woman after God's own heart. Look unto Him. Oh, look unto Him and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. We have the real and substantial temple, the great high priest, the true altar, the one sacrifice, the true access into the very presence of the Most High God. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, Hebrews 3:1. At last, our text does say that our Savior is coming again. Our Savior is coming again. And that He will bring to us the substance and the consummation of our final salvation. He is our all-sufficient Lord and King. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. From everlasting unto everlasting, the King and the Lord of heaven has been coming, has come, and is coming again, founding and to found a kingdom that shall endure forever. History shall find its ultimate meaning in His manifestation and the full establishment of His glorious dominion. The future belongs to Him. The future belongs to him, not the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, the Independent Party. It belongs to him. He is the ruler of the age to come. Aren't you glad? He is the Lord of the new humanity. He is the hope and he is the Savior of the world. He is surely coming. When he comes, our dead will sleep in Jesus, shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. A Savior who would leave in the dust of the ground those who trust in him is not the Lord of the New Testament. You will not be left as the dust of the ground. Ultimately, there shall be a complete redemption of the purchased possession, and not a bone shall be left in the regions of death. Not a relic for the devil to gloat over. When the last one enrolled in God's book has been saved, when the last prodigal son has come home, then the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall all be changed. And I'll have our praise team come up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable, Paul tells the church at Corinth. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Christ the first fruits. After they that are Christ at his coming. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. He will put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes, there shall be a renewal. There shall be a rebirth, a remaking of all creation. Revelation 21:5, behold, I make all things new. And today, you don't have to wait till that time for him to make all things new. He can make your thought life new this morning. He can make your circumstances new today. He can make your attitude new today if we let him. Oppression shall cease from among men, and the voice of cruelty shall no longer be heard. Our great Lord and King shall rule in every heart and life. The will of God shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. The nations shall walk in the name of the Lord forever. That's what we need to focus on. That's what we need to be reminded of in 2021. This whole message here today reminds us of the sufficiency we have in Christ. Reminds us of the victory that overcomes this world, our faith. Reminds us the omnipotent, omnipresent God makes intercession for us day in and day out without ceasing. Reminds us that we are not alone in the midst of this. I believe. Because I'm talking about the remnant, and I believe the majority of you in here are. And there's a remnant across this country. It took some rattling and some shaking, but we've seen this last year, in every person's life, including born-again believers' lives. But I believe we've learned. I believe we've refocused. I believe that we've come to the place that we're in the trenches. We know we're in the trenches. And we believe we're going to show him strong. And I believe 2021, and I said it earlier because this has really been on my heart, you will individually see people that you have ministered to for decades, that thoughts have come in your mind, there is no hope. You're going to see them because of what's coming in this country. You're going to see them that has watched you, regardless of what they said to you, regardless of what the body language has said to you. They have watched you. They have seen you unwaver, steadfast, your hand to the plow and not looking back. They are going to come in humility before Jesus Christ and be born again from on high. I believe that with all my heart. God bless each one of you. And I just pray the peace of God will just rest upon each one of you. May he give you dreams and visions. May you see dramatic movement on his part where he is ordering your steps. As broad as that statement is of ordering your steps, I believe you'll know it when it comes. And I believe that you're going to see the hand of the Lord, not in the way you have in the past, but even in a greater way. And we thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus, it is done. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.